Let's give the Lord a hand.
Amen. Always good to be here. This is like our home away from home. And we love you all. Glad to be here. And I want to give honor to Pastor and Sister Shostrand. So good to see her. We've been praying for her, lifting her up in prayer. And I just want to, let's give the Lord a hand clap for what he's done tonight. Do you realize he's already filled? He filled Joe with the Holy Ghost. Amen. What do you think of that? And I don't think he's done yet. I think Tegan's getting ready to get it here in a little bit too. I'm believing that. How many's believing with me? All that, you do that, you clap like that at a golf match. Come on. I said, how many believe that God is getting ready to fill tonight? Oh, I believe it. I believe. I wish somebody would stand to their feet and clap their hands and shout like they really mean it. Like God's really fixing to move in this house. Amen, amen. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, in advance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. I am the media people and probably the camera folks, the worst nightmare. I don't stand still and I move around a lot in real life and in scripture. So Revelation 3 and 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, that's the Lord's, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I want to tell you something today. There is a door that's set before you. And are you going to step through that door? Are you going to step through the door? Some of you sitting here, you've been to that door. You have came to that door Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You've been at that door so many times. You've came to that door for decades. And maybe your whole life you've came to that door. And you've came to the door and you put one foot in the door. And you've got just a little touch of what God can do. You got a touch of the Shekinah glory. You felt the power, but you stepped back out. Because sometimes, where we're at right now in the flesh, we're comfortable here. And we don't like to step into a realm that we're not comfortable in. We don't want to get to a place where we are not in control of everything. How many like to be in control? All the wives' hands went up. I seen some wives' hands go. I don't care what, you would rather drive the car than sit in the passenger seat of the car. Amen. That's what they put them handles all the way down the pillar for. They don't have them on the driver's side. They have them on the passenger side. I come to tell you, there's some folks in here today. Tonight is your night. You got to make a choice tonight. You're going to step through the door. You're not going to step in and then step back out. You're going to step all the way into the door, and you're going to sit down. You're going to sup with him, and he with you. Tonight, some of you is going to make a decision. You're going to walk through that door. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13. I know it went from Revelations to Genesis, but I'm going somewhere tonight. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I believe we're in that hour and in that day today. The same hour that was in Genesis chapter 6, I believe that we're in that hour today with where we're getting ready to hear a trumpet sound. This church is getting ready to leave here. Amen? How many believe that? It goes on and it says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch, and it shall be fashioned which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, and the lower in the second and the third stories shalt thou make it. Has anybody in here ever been to Kentucky and seen the Ark, the Ark Encounter? Do you realize that is the world's largest freestanding wooden structure in the world? World's largest freestanding wooden structure. And do you realize he did this without chainsaws, without sawmills? Noah and his family built this boat to save themselves, to save the animals. It was a vehicle that was going to get them out of the destruction that was getting ready to come. I read one time that Jewish rabbis believe that Noah actually planted the trees. Think about this. Gopher wood's kind of like pine. It grew fast. 20 to 30 years, it would fully mature. And so they said that there was no possible way that Noah and his family could have harvested the wood to build the ark without planting it. They would have had to go miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and miles in one direction just to get the wood. So they was able to harvest the trees, replant trees. Go over here, harvest the trees, replant trees. Go over here, harvest the trees and replant trees. And by the time they got back over here, they was harvesting trees that was fully mature that they had already planted. Think about that. They was planting and sowing a seed in the ground of something that was going to save them. They was putting that seed in. And that's not what I come to talk about. I even know that will preach. But I want to say this. We read in the scripture how God had laid this out. There was a blueprint for this. Make it this long. Make it this wide. Make it this tall. I want a window fashion, 1 cubit by 1 cubit when it's finished. And I want the lower and the second and the third floor. This is how I want it built. But I want to say that the most amazing thing in this whole story is what was left out of it. What is one dimension that was left out of it? God did not tell Noah how big to make the door. Think about it. There is not one place in the scriptures where he said, I want you to make the door this big. I want you to make the door this tall. Noah made the door so big that God had to shut it. God had to pitch it on the ends or on the outside. And Noah pitched it on the inside. I want to tell you this night that the door on the ark, the door in the church, it's the same door, the door for you tonight. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've been through. The door is big enough for you to get through. There has been no sin. Listen, hold on a second. You have not committed a sin too big. You have not committed a sin too great that the altar won't take care of it. You can make it through the door. I come to tell you, I don't care. Drug addictions, it doesn't matter. Alcoholism, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Failed marriages, it doesn't matter. The door is big enough for you in this ark. God made the door big enough for me, honey, and he made it big enough for you. The door on the ark is big enough for all of us. And since that door is that big, how in the world can we redefine things? I come to tell you, he didn't give a dimension on the door. And the same thing with the scripture. I can't do anything with Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. I can't reinvent the wheel. It is what it is. It says to repent. It says to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It says ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's Bible, honey. I come to tell you, step through the door. Step through the door. This is it. We can't redefine this thing. We can't do anything about the Godhead. There is one God. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You got to understand, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. A few scriptures later, and it says, and the Word came down and was made flesh and dwelt among us. I come to tell you, we serve one God, and his name is Jesus. There's one salvation, and it's under his name. He gave his life on Calvary's cross, shed his blood for you and for me, and his name is Jesus. He made a door big enough for you. He made a door big enough for me. I come to tell somebody, You've been ridden with guilt your whole life. I come to tell you the door is big enough. It was made that big at the cross. His blood was shed for you. You can have salvation tonight. I've made up my mind. I made up my mind in Parkersburg. We're going to make a door big enough for everybody, aren't we, Sister Hunt? That door's big enough. I don't care who they are. I don't care where they came from. I don't care the mess that they've come out of. I want all of them. I want the mess. I want them all. I want the ones that look like they fell in a tackle box. I want the ones that come in with just a mess in their life. I want each and every single one of them. I want the sinners. I want the sinners. Why? Because that's what the ark was for. It's made for people like you and for me. Noah didn't have the measurements. He didn't have the measurements, but for a door, but he must have made that door big enough. He made it big enough to where the animals could go through. Think about it. The chipmunks made it on. But the elephants did too. They all went through one door. There's not many paths to heaven. And I'm going to get into this here in a minute. There's one way. There's one path. There's one gate. There's one God. There's one way. I want to tell you, all the animals, everybody that went on the ark went through one door. They went through the exact same door. Let me get down here where I was wanting to be. I'm out of my notes here. So some of you are probably thinking about this scripture, and I'm going to get here. It's in Matthew 7 and 13. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in hereafter. Jesus is teaching here. Jesus is teaching in this passage of Scripture about the dangers of false teaching, about the dangers of just listening to whoever you tickles your ear. I want to tell you, you got to watch what you hear on Facebook. Don't worry, I'm not getting on social media. But you got to watch what you listen to on Facebook. Just because they have flowery words don't mean what they're saying's right. It don't mean what they're saying's Bible. You got to watch who you listen to on YouTube. I come to tell you tonight, church, the one man that you need to listen to is sitting right here. This is the one. This is the one that's going to lead you to heaven. This is the one that's going to stand in judgment. This is the one that's going to stand before God and say, here's Christian Apostolic Church. This is the Newark Church that I've been guiding and leading and teaching. This is them. This is a man that's going to stand in judgment and answer for your soul. This is a man that you need to listen to. This is a man that you need to follow. Amen. You need to not listen to just any word, and because the Bible says that he calls them sheep or wolves in sheep's clothing. There's only one door, and Jesus is his name. There's not many doors, and there's not many paths. Because Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14 says it this way. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Everybody say straight. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We see he doesn't give the dimensions of the gate. He says, straight is the gate, but narrow is the way. Narrow is the way, but when you get to the gate, he doesn't give a dimension. If the gate was narrow, I wouldn't fit through it. Well, somebody agreed with me. I heard that. I didn't see who you was, but I heard it. If the gate was narrow, I wouldn't fit through it. Right? It says the gate was straight. I come to tell you, this shoots it straight. I come to tell you, I don't care what they say, what anybody says. If it's not in this, it's not true. It's not Bible. If it's not in this, it's not going to get you to heaven. I come to tell somebody, the Bible says to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I believe we ought to live that way. I believe we ought to live a holy life. I believe we ought to live a life acceptable unto Him. I believe we ought to be disciples of Christ. I believe we ought to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I come to tell somebody on this night, what we've got to do is live by this book. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. There's not a bunch of books. There's one book that's going to get you to the gate. Narrow is the way. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people. I hear it all the time. I hear it from work to just everywhere. Well, I gotta seek out my own salvation. I'm gonna find it. Well, I tell you what you gotta do when it talks about seeking out your own salvation. You gotta get in the book. You gotta read the book. You gotta listen to the man of God. You gotta take heed to his words. It doesn't change it. It doesn't mean that you can just go out and worship trees or do something dumb. What it means is you have just got to read the book. The book will lead you in the right direction. You see, it says to repent and be baptized. I'm on this hard tonight. I'm sorry. But we need to realize that this gospel is for everybody. It's not just for me. It's not just for you. It's not for a handpicked, selected few. It's for you and you and you and Joe. It's for you. It's for you. You know that now. It's for you. It's for each and every single one of us. And we have got to get back to the point that we believe that every single person is going to have revival. We have got to get to the point that we believe that the one that's under the bridge tonight with a needle sticking in their arm, that this gospel is for them. This salvation is for them. We have got to remember that the ones that's sitting at the beer joint right now, that it's for them right now too. That this gospel is for them. This salvation is for them. This Bible is for them. Straight is the way. Narrow is the way, and straight is. I come to tell somebody this is what we've got to believe, that revival is for you. Mark 2:2 says, and straightway many were gathered together, in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. I want to read this again. And straightway. Many were gathered together, in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door. That's the key. Not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them. It doesn't say that there was no room in the house. Study the scripture. It doesn't say that there wasn't no room in the house. And I'm going to prove that. I'm going to bust that myth here in just a second. Doesn't say that there wasn't no room in the house. And I've heard people, and I've probably have preached it like that before in my life. But it plainly says that there was no room to receive them. There was no room to receive them. It was them. You see, it was the guy in the cot. It was the guy that had the issue. It was the guy that had the condition. There was no room about the door. They couldn't get the cot in the door. We know the story how they ripped the roof off and lowered him in. That tells you right there that there was room inside, but they couldn't get the bed through the door. Think about this. They couldn't, his issue, his problem, what had him down, he couldn't fit through the door. I come to tell you, this thing here, honey, you can fit a California king through the door of this thing. There is nothing that is going to hold us back. It is for you. So stop, don't sit here tonight and say, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if this is for me. Honey, it is for you. All your problems, all your ailments, everything, it is for you. It is for your family. It is for your neighbors. It's for everybody. It is for everybody. I spent a long time, long portion of my life. Grew up in church, raised in church. But I ran from God a lot. I felt like that my mom raised my brother and me in church and did a great job. But I just felt like I just ran and ran and ran. I wasn't like the other kids in the church. My dad wasn't in church. We had to leave early. You see, I was the one that I couldn't go to church camp. I've never been to a church camp in my life. Wasn't allowed to go. Not because I didn't want to go. I wasn't allowed to go. Never been to really very many youth services or anything. I just wasn't allowed to go. My father wouldn't allow me or my brother to go. And as I got up older, I kind of thought I missed a lot of that. And I struggled with that through I got in my young adult age. And I just ran from God. I ran and I ran and I ran. And I thought, it's not for me. This isn't for me. I'm just a mess. My family's a mess. My parents are divorced. I don't know what to do. I'm by myself. I'm trying to find my way. I don't know. And I'm not singing a sob story, and I don't want your pity. But what I'm telling you, there was one day I had to find an altar. There was one day I came to the realization. I came to God and said, I have played church for the bulk majority of my teenage years. I sat with one foot in and one foot out the bulk of my life. And I made a decision one day that I am going to step all the way in. It's imperative for my family that's coming. It's imperative for my kids that I'm going to have in the future. I've got to get this thing right, and I've got to do it right now. I can't play church anymore. I don't have time to play church anymore. I've got to sell out to this thing. I'm going to buy the truth and sell it not. I've got to just get in it all the way. I'm going to live it. I'm going to live it like there's no tomorrow. I don't care if you laugh at me. I don't care if you mock me. I am all in this thing. I'm going to sell out. I came to the conclusion God didn't call me to be a professor at my college I teach at. He called me to spread the gospel of Jesus, and I'm going to do it. I come to tell you, if the door was big enough for me to walk through, I'm not perfect by any means. If it was big enough for me to walk through, it was big enough for you to walk through. Oh, come on, somebody. Is it big enough for you? Was it big enough for you one day to walk through it? Was it big enough for you, brother? I come to tell somebody. Some of you have stepped to the door, and you got one foot in and one foot out. One foot in and one foot out. The Bible talks about being lukewarm. Spew you out. I told the church here one day, I said that I read this one time, the only problem that Noah had on the ark was keeping the woodpeckers above the water line. Think about it. It's probably true. He had to keep the woodpeckers above the water line. So when you get in, there's still going to be some issues. Life isn't going to be perfect. But I can tell you, it's so much better than 1 foot in and 1 foot out. 1 foot in and 1 foot out. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I know that there's some folks, and you know who I'm preaching to tonight. You have spent your whole lifetime with 1 foot in the church and 1 foot out of the church. You teenagers, I hope it's none of you, but I got to tell somebody today, tonight is your night. You've got to make up your mind. I'm going all the way in with this thing. Some of you, you've been wanting to get baptized. Hey, I'm getting baptized on Easter. I'm going to wait till my family get here. I'm going to wait till my friends get here. I'm going to wait till my spouse or my loved ones get here. And I come to tell you, don't wait. Tonight's your night. Get in the boat. Get in this thing all the way. Some of you have wanted to seek the Holy Ghost. You've wanted the Holy Ghost for a long time. I want to tell you, tonight is your night. Don't hinder. Don't sit in your seat tonight. When I open up this altars here in just a few minutes, what you ought to do, you ought to come running and flood this altar with everything that you've got. You ought to slide into this altar like you're sliding into home base at a baseball game. Somebody, this is for you tonight. Quit playing church. Get into this thing. The door is for you. The door is big enough. He made it for you. The musicians will come, please. I want us all to stand. I want every eye closed and every head bowed. I don't want anybody looking around. I tell you that playing church is one of the hardest things you ever do. Trying to live one way in and you're living a one way out. It's so much easier just to sell out. It makes life so much easier just to put all in. So tonight, I know that some of you you have anxiety and you have fear. And you have anger, maybe anger issues that you've been dealing with, and you've got everything kind of compartmentalized in your mind. And I come to tell you today, yes, you can get help with that, but I can tell you there's an altar tonight that can take care of major issues in your life. There's an altar tonight that can lift a lot of addictions and a lot of things off your life tonight. You don't go to a doctor. You don't go see a doctor when you're sick and expect to leave the same way you come in. You want to go see the doctor and you want to leave better. So tonight, if I said that I had the answer, why would you leave the same way you come in? Some of you is going to leave here and go to a restaurant. Maybe you're hungry, haven't had dinner yet. What if you go to that restaurant and you go in and you get the menu and you sit down and you just wait and the waitress comes up to you and wants to take your order and you just sit there and look at her. And you just sit there and wait for an hour or two and then you get up and you walk out. You walk out of the restaurant. You didn't eat anything. You went there because you was hungry. And you left there hungry. Why? Because you didn't get what you needed. You never do that. Everybody leaves the restaurant full. So why would you come to the house of God hungry for something, hungry for a change, with yokes of addiction on you? Why would you leave the same way you came? You're at the master's table. This is a place where it changes lives. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. I'm not gonna beg anybody to come tonight. What I want people to do, I want the hungry ones. I want the ones that says, you know what? Preacher, I'm tired of playing. I'm all in tonight. I want some of the ones that saying, I'm not gonna be hot. I'm not gonna be cold anymore or lukewarm. I'm selling out. I'm all in. I want some folks that's going to say, I need to repent of my sins. I want the folks that want the Holy Ghost and want to be baptized. I want them to flood the altars tonight. This is a plea to the church. We've got to get closer. We have got to get closer. He's coming back. We've got to be ready. We've got to be the church without spot nor wrinkle. He's looking for a church. He's looking for the bride. We've got to be ready. Stop playing church. Let's sell out. That door is big enough for you. The door's big enough for your marriage. The door's big enough for your messes. The door's big enough for all your dilemmas and all your problems. Everything that you've been fighting. What your family's fought for decades and generations, that door is big enough to take care of what your generations before carried and what you're carrying. That door is big enough for all of your issues and all of your problems. Oh, come on, church. There's no size to this thing. It's for you. It's for you tonight. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's seek the Lord. Some of you need to repent tonight. Some of you might need baptized tonight. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, we're going to come around and pray with you. God's going to fill you tonight. Some of you just need to refocus your walk with God and just settle it up tonight. Say, I'm all in. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.